to raging arcade gameplay. Who gives you the most authentic sports games? Who gives you a game that lets you fly? And who gives you access to the internet on your TV? Play games, surf the net, only on Sega Saturn.
Welcome, Sega fans. Do you hear static? That's because you're dialing in to the Sega Guys podcast, the show brought to you at 14.4 kilobits per second. I'm Dan the Mega Driver, and here's the netlink to my Sega Saturn modem. It's James the Sega-holic. How you doing, mate?
I'm very good, mate. Very good. How's yourself?
Yes, blinding, mate. Blinding. It's been a couple of weeks on there in the Sega Saturn front. You know, no shortage of translations and community mods and just non-stop stuff to get into. I was thinking the other day, is there a system better supported by the retro community than the Saturn? You know,
don't think so.
Because we get ports of games that were on other platforms. You know, how many Saturn games are coming to other platforms? Well, we're getting Crash Bandicoot, Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy VII. We're getting ports of Unreal. We're getting enhanced versions of existing games. We're getting translations, and as we'll get in today, online. What other retro console, aside from the Dreamcast, has a functioning online community?
It's crazy. I mean, it's kind of quite ironic that the system that no one wanted back in the day is the one that everybody seems to want to do something with these days. It's crazy. You know, I don't think there is. I mean, the Mega Drive scene's pretty vibrant. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on Mega Drive-wise as well. Like, I know the Final Fight MD port from Mauro Zavi, that's on hold until he hears back from Capcom, but he's working on another kind of RPG game. Obviously, you've got Pyron, you've got Master Linkway. They do a lot of great work on the Mega Drive. Robo Z doing the R-Type thing, which has gone a bit quiet as well. But I think in terms of sheer volume and people pushing the console to new boundaries, I think we're just so blessed that we've got so many talented people that want to turn their attention to the Sega Saturn. With Derek Pascarella now, he's, you know, the legendary A-Team. You know, he's renowned for his work on Dreamcast, and now he's dabbling in Sega Saturn stuff as well. The video for Jung Rhythm that you put out, you know, today at the time of recording this, it's just like there's so much, you know, translations. I was even writing the script for the 10 Shooters video, which will probably have been out by the time this releases. You know, Cotton 2 was referenced in that. The English translation patch for that is referenced in there. And that's 2021, mate. You know what I mean? So it's gone back as far as that and further. So it's just, it is crazy to see just how much has been done and how much continues to be done. You know, the homebrew competition, 29th anniversary last year. You know, the plethora of games, Cold Case, you know, Slide Hop, CubeCat, and then there's a new version of the Joe engine has been announced as well. So
I was about to say, the voxel performance on that is pretty astounding when you see that in motion. So, you know, when it comes to the 30th anniversary, Jesus Christ, that makes you feel old. 30th anniversary of the Sega Saturn, we're going to see some absolutely amazing things on there. And obviously Derek turning his attention, obviously his site is called Dreamcast Forever. But his last few games have been Saturn ports. And of course, it's not just Derek that he does the majority of the porting and the coding, but you got Shadow Mask and Malenko all doing, you know, various pieces of work. And it's just the homebrew scene is so vibrant on the Saturn. The Mega Drive one's close, you know. I know Robo Z has been updating on Twitter about a lot of the progress with R-Type on the Mega Drive. I think there's been some extremely challenging areas, which has been nice to see him go through that through that process. Because imagine, you know, there's probably a wall when you're going through that process supporting something that we never expected. But more and more we see, you know, X-Men, Cold Case, all this stuff coming over to the Sega Saturn. And of course the topic today, which is Netlinks. Now I've been saying Netlinks, it's actually Sega Saturn modems we got, wasn't it?
Aye, we're using the Western terminology, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, Netlink, I think it's actually X-band is more the Japanese term, isn't it? That's more
Yeah.
commonly used. You see it on the packaging for the Japanese games, the X-band logo.
Yeah, so to kind of give a bit more background to anyone that's not familiar, and this is a very high level view, very high level version of history here. But Sega have always dabbled with online as far back as the Mega Drive, way back. It's either very early 90s or maybe even the late 80s when you had the Mega Drive modem in Japan. So Sega have always dabbled with it, and the X Band. Online service was actually something that was used, if I remember correctly. I'm winging it here, so I'm sure someone in the comments will correct me if I'm incorrect. But my recollection of it all is that the X Band service was actually used in America for the Mega Drive to a very limited degree. Obviously, didn't catch on as big as something like the Sega Channel did, but then Sega Japan took that template because X Band wasn't just Mega Drive. I believe it got used across a number of systems. But then Sega of Japan created the first Sega Saturn modem to use that service. And the Sega Saturn modem itself is that there's the two versions. The Sega Saturn modem is actually the 14.4 gigabits per second adapter, whereas the Netlink, which came after, is the 28.8 kilobits per second. So, but the Sega Saturn modem, obviously, it came out 95, 96 supported Virtua Fighter Remix, and probably has the most supported games out of all of them. And it was, you know, when we interspoke to Tom Kalinske, didn't he was talking about how they wanted, you know, initially to make the Sega Saturn an online console, and they wanted it to have an onboard modem, and that was kind of a non-starter when they were talking about the Saturn and the 32X. And obviously, when they got the opportunity to make the Saturn online, it's something that they went to in a big way, even going as far as to make a huge thing of it. Looking at the financial year 1997 documents, you see an awful lot of emails in there around using online as kind of the unique selling point and the kind of the last throw of the dice to really light a fire under the Sega Saturn, to the point that it was very pronounced next to Sonic Extreme at the E3 1996 that year. Obviously, the Netlink, and this is the double speed modem, double speed 28.8 kilobits per second, was showcased alongside the Sega Pluto, which was essentially a Sega Saturn with a Netlink inbuilt. And that was going to, what was that going to retail for? Is it $599.99?
Something like that, $4.99 or five, $4 or $5.99, mate. Just like you're hemorrhaging money and you're trying to get Sega Japan to build that for you. Like, really?
Yeah, I mean, the thing
Madness.
about it was, though, if it came off, you know, if you probably remember yourself, if you went to buy like a high-end PC at that time, maybe not even a high-end, like a mid-range PC, you know, you were looking at a couple of grand, maybe more than that, back in the mid-90s, and you know, to get something that was internet capable, and amazingly, you know, that would have been, you know, £600 on a Sega Saturn with a modem probably would have been one of the cheapest ways to get onto the internet at that time. You know, we're talking 96 here.
Aye, and the E3 footage that you see, like Sega kind of went, or Sega America, they went in very much on that PC aspect.
Yeah.
You know, it was about, you know, web surfing and email. I think maybe from perspective looking at the games available, maybe the Japanese side was focused more on the games part, but I think Tom and Sega of America did look at it as like a cheap PC.
Yeah.
Which obviously led to the Pluto, which you know Adam Korolik now has one of and parades around the world in front of various landmarks.
The
I mean,
Pluto was meant to access people to the give people access to the World Wide Web, but it's the Pluto that's going worldwide with Adam at the moment, isn't it? So
pretty much, eh?
I'm sure there's pictures of him holding it up against various landmarks. But yes, so the podcast today is really about the fact that the Sega guys are online. We don't mean on X or on YouTube, but we mean we are online with our Sega Saturns, which is absolutely bonkers when you think about the fact that we just mentioned that this console is 30 years old this year, and We're playing in the modern day with antiquated dial-up technology and able to get a few games with each other. But mate, I think it's probably worth talking about how we got these, because it all started when Dave and the Shiro crew got their hands on what they call new old stock, didn't they? There was like a bundle that they got with these.
I remember watching. I was in the live chat, and it must have been, it was over a year ago, around about a year ago maybe. I mean, Dave will probably correct us, but like I remember watching, and it was almost quite jovial. Like they were just browsing on Buy, I'm sure it was, and they came across this bulk, like kind of order, this bulk new old stock. It was like 20 of them, I'm sure it was. And they were kind of like cajoling each other on, like, oh, should we put a bid in for them and see what happens? And I don't know what the conversion rate was. I don't know what the price was that it was even sitting at. But like I remember Dave going to Pat, yeah, let's just bid on them and see what happens. So like they put the bid in, and then they've said, right, that's the most we're going to pay kind of thing. We'll just let it sit there. And then like time passed, and obviously they announced that they'd won the auction, that they'd secured them. But the thing that they want to do is make sure that, because these things, they're still quite expensive if you find them on eBay, that like, prices kind of range, like 150, 250 quid. I've seen ones going for, those were actual Netlinks, not the Sega Saturn modem.
I
But
saw a
the
few Sega Saturn modems you can get probably for about 40 or £50.
aye.
And Buy especially, they go for under and around that. I saw them as low as 20, but yeah,
The black, it was the black American versions there. There they go for the actual Netlinks.
The Netlinks go for quite a bit more, I think.
No. But the caveat was that they'd be made available to like $10 and above patrons, which obviously we are. But the caveat as well to taking one is that you have to be active. You have to take part in the community challenges when they come up. You have to be shown, and be seen to be using them. They're not to sit on a shelf. That was made very clear. I don't have a shelf to sit them on anyway, so no, that doesn't matter. But the guys have sold these at more or less cost. They haven't made any kind of profit on them, and it's all just about growing that community, that online community. And they're on the lookout for more, mate. They keep saying that their eyes are peeled. If they can get more, then they will, try and do so. And if we can get a larger contingent online with our Saturns, then more the merrier. Because you go on the Shiro kind of the Netlink chat on a Discord, and like you catch up in the morning, and at like 4 o'clock in the morning you've got like Double Dime asking people to play Worldwide Soccer and stuff. And I'm like, mate, I'd love to give you a game and let you kick me up and down the park, but I'm in the land of Nod at that time. So
Same.
aye, but it's brilliant to see. It's kind of growing, and the excitement that the guys show whenever someone else gets online, that it's another couple of people that are available to take part, which is great.
And I think the important thing to note there is that it really is just about growing that online community and showcasing that. And again, just showing some love for the Sega Saturn and getting involved in these community events. I was a bit gutted that I think I missed the Puzzle Bobble event by a few days or something, because when I finally got mine hooked up and I went into the challenges thing and the bracket had already been filled out, and I was like, oh. But I think the thing was, I think from the Shiro perspective, I think a lot of this was funded, from their Patreon and their members and everything. And obviously from our own perspective, this our getting of the Netlinks was funded by, the payments that we get into the channel. Special thanks to our members that have helped us make this happen, because it always has been the case with our members that we strive to. None of this money goes into our pockets. The podcast and the channel have expenses to run. But anything that we get surplus to that is always going to go into improving the experience on the channel and the content we make. And hopefully you're starting to see that a bit more in the equipment that we're using to capture, after we've had a number of devices die on us and they've had to be replaced. And rather than getting any crappy HD converters, now we've got much more. You've got the RAD 2X, I've got the OSSC. And hopefully that's apparent from, you know, all of our members and viewers that we're making these improvements to the channel, and it's all thanks to your support basically. And the Netflix are an extension of that. You know, this is going to give us a completely new range of content and a very unique range of content, because, you know, there's not many people in Europe, in the UK, or even the world, you know, that have these net links and are connected in the way that we are. And we do hope that you enjoy what we're going to be showing in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, absolutely. And as again, just to echo what you said, you know, thanks very much to, you know, the members and even subscribers, people who are watching and sharing the content. You know, that's helping us, you know, bring in the cash to buy these net links to upgrade equipment. You know, as you said, like the video capture footage, the kind of the last of the older kind of content that we stockpiled has kind of gone out. So the stuff that you start to see now will be of a higher quality kind of capture as well. So yeah, we never started this, you know, to make money to put in our pockets and go to the pub and, you know, go to the football and stuff like that. Everything that we make from it goes straight back in to enhancing the experience. You know, things that you'll see soon as well. This whole window, you know, background thing that we've got going, this will be vanishing soon. We've got green screens that will be on the way. We'll be changing up how it looks, trying to make it a bit more interactive, a bit more like we're in the same place, similar to what the Shiro guys do. So again, it's just all about enhancing that experience for you guys. And obviously the net links, you know, as you said, Dan, there's you look online, there's nobody really, apart from the Shiro guys and the community challenges, and maybe the odd video from maybe a few years back of people talking about going online and maybe using it, but there's nothing really out there that's
No.
doing this kind of content. So, you know, we had the 2 hour video, which was unedited and unscripted, of the total experience, of going online, failed calls, crashes, freezes, glitches, the lot. That's gone out to obviously premium members, but everyone else will still get to see the individual gameplay videos, you know, along with ourselves kind of bantering and ripping each other to shreds and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
we've only played five of the games. There's obviously more games to play, like Duke Nukem 3D, Decathlete or Athlete Kings as we know it. So there's more games to play. There's more people out there to play against. We want to get like a live stream or footage of ourselves playing with Dave or Pat or Peter or Double Dime, Knight of Dragon, Pudgy Bunny, Danthrax, you, all these people that are online. We want to kind of show not just UK based like matches on these games, but let's take on, this is never meant to be a technology that went across continents, you know what I mean? But you know, it can do that, and it's all down to Joe with that amazing tunnel that's been, you know, allowing us to direct dial through via IPv6, you know, IPv4, sorry, public IP addresses. It's phenomenal. It really is.
It's incredible, yeah. And you know, there's been a lot of work, because the package that you get when you're, you know, a $10 plus Shiro member that has bought one of these things, is that you're not only getting a modem, and you know, you get the, we got the bundle of games on it, which were absolutely pristine. You get free games with it. You get Virtua Fighter, a Remix, X-Band, and you get two other ones. You get the web browser one, and I can't quite remember what the other one does.
Bad nifty.
That's the one. Yes, Nifty.
Bad
And
nifty.
but the biggest part of this, you know, you get that bundle, which is the retail bundle. But what the Shiro crew do, and you know, this is Knight of Dragons. He's modified. They've included the Lion Voltage adapter, which goes onto the modem, so you can plug that into USB and, you know, put it into your laptop or PC. You know, it's built for a DreamPi, that this solution, but thanks to, you know, thanks to Sega Saturn RPG fan, you know, we can run the Tunneler on our PCs now and connect that way. And it really is phenomenal what those guys have done.
It's mental and the effort as well, you know, because like Knight of Dragon, he's one guy, you know, Anthony, he's just one guy and he's testing all of these out individually. He's creating a private YouTube video on his channel for each buyer to demonstrate that the tunnel works, that it gets to, you know, the I'm waiting screen. shipping all these out. There's people across Europe as well as across the US that have, or North America that have got these. So it's a massive, massive undertaking. And don't forget that like ourselves, these guys have got full-time jobs, families as well, and they're putting that effort in. But the line voltage modem is brilliant. It's a great bit of kit. You know, you just look for those two little green lights coming on, you know, you're good to go. And it's a whole complete package. And then obviously you've got the support aspect of things as well. You know, with the Discord, you've got Dave on there, you know, Joe Sega RPG fan, he's always there to kind of help level of patience that guy's got, by the way.
Yeah, he helps us through it no end.
Oh, as I said, like on the Netlink video that we done, like at one point I had Dave on a Discord call, a voice call with me, but I can hear him doing a dictation note message on Discord back to Joe to then relay what he's saying back to me. It's like absolute madness. But we got there. In the end, it turned out it was my modem wasn't seated properly. And I noticed that, I think it must have been something to do with like the packaging conditions or maybe humidity. There was the Pad Nifty discs had this kind of weird white coating on them. It was only one. The others were fine. But in between the pins on the cartridge, I noticed that there was also some of that stuff on there. So I just took a pencil eraser and just rubbed it off, cleaned it up, and slapped it in, and didn't slap it in, not with that slot. You gently caress it into the slot, you know what I mean? And it worked fine. And the good thing is that the US Netlink games, so like Bomberman and Sega Rally, they've got a little fail-safe where there's a splash screen that will come up to tell you that the system has identified the modem is there. The Japanese games don't do that. So with like Saturn Bomberman, if it doesn't detect your cartridge, it will take you straight to the opening FMV. But if it detects a cartridge, you'll get the title screen. Then you'll go into the green Netlink screen. Sega Rally goes straight to that. There's no FMV, obviously, no intro. That just goes straight into that. So that's a good kind of wee test to make sure you know your modem is seated. You run one of those games and go, right, cool, I'm getting that screen. I can rule that out. So if anything else goes wrong, it's from that side out. It's from the cables or the modem. But once you get it seated properly, if you've forwarded your ports, everything's all in order, then it should have been an issue. You should be good to go.
Yeah, and there's some really good instructions on the Shiro website if you look for playing online with your Sega Saturn. If you search that into Google, I'm pretty sure it's the top article is that Shiro article, and it's got step by step instructions, including how to dial into, you know, whether you're dialing on a Netlink or if you're dialing in via the Sega Saturn modem, because they are slightly different. But yeah, this is all made possible because of the community, not just because of the modem and the tunnel and the line voltage adapters and the testing that Night of Dragons has done, and the superb packaging job he did, by the way, was absolutely phenomenal with all four corners all accounted for, but also the fact that these games have had to be patched to work the way that they do. You know, these aren't just, you know, you can't just grab the X-Band or Sega Saturn modem or Netlink version off of your ROM site. You have to patch them, so the community's done that, and it's phenomenal, mate. I mean, we can talk about the games that are compatible. You know, we played five of them, and we'll talk about how they all fared. You know, we played, and people would have seen the video already, you know, Virtua Fighter Remix, Sega Worldwide Soccer 98, Virtual On, Daytona USA CCE, and Sega Rally. But, you know, the other games are going to be just as impressive. Bomberman, up to four players, albeit it's two players per Sega Saturn. And I was talking to Man of Stone earlier, because he was playing Duke Nukem at the time of recording. I think he said he was playing it last night, maybe the night before. I'm terrible at Discord at getting back to my messages, but he was telling me about it. And what I didn't realize is that Duke Nukem 3D is actually a co-op experience.
Yes,
I thought it was just one-on-one deathmatch, but it's a co-op.
There's two game modes you can play. I'm sure it's co-op and a deathmatch kind of game as well. So you can pick how you, pardon me, you want to play it, and obviously it's got the 3D analog controller support as well. So for your more accurate aiming, although there's like really good auto aim on there as it is, but
yeah,
that's a brilliant game. That'll be a right laugh.
Yeah. So looking forward to playing some of that. But yeah, so you know, as we said, you get your modem, plug that into your Sega Saturn, and you plug your telephone line voltage adapter into a USB slot of your PC, laptop, or DreamPie of your choice. Forward your ports as per the instructions. Stick your game in. You essentially do a version of dialing your friend's IP address, and away you go. You're effectively dialing each other, calling each other via an emulated phone line, and that's how
Pretty
you're
much
playing.
it.
And God, mate, we had such a laugh those 2 or 3 hours that we were initially playing. You know, we had the initial run, which we did. You know, it was during the afternoon, wasn't it? I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. Must have been Thursday afternoon we were doing it, and just a test run. And the performance then was a little bit bumpy, probably because it's the middle of the day. And we got what did we play? Virtua Fighter Remix and Sega Rally, because you spanked me on both of them, didn't you?
Sorry, you got me back for that, mate. We Virtua Fighter Remix whenever the connection get fixed. But yeah, I think at the time we first tried it, like my ping, I don't know if you clocked yours, but my ping was like 146.
Wow. No, I didn't clock mine on there when we first played.
And I'm like, that's just like drastically like way too high. But funnily enough, it was similar whenever I played against Dave. And whenever I played him, it was like Sega Rally was the frame rate, it wasn't like choppy, it was just slowed down slightly. And the input delay was really bad. But again, you set that aside and consider obviously what you're obviously playing. But whenever we went back on late the following night. And obviously that's whenever the magic happened because like those ping rates were insanely low. If I remember watching the Virtua Fighter Remix video back, and I think at one point I look at the laptop beside me and I say my ping's like 7.8 or something like that. It was insanely low, and you see that in my reaction whenever we first start playing Virtua Fighter Remix. I go, oh here, because
That's
it's
more
like,
responsive.
it's like because I press something and it happens straight away, and I was like, this is like offline, that there's no perceivable input lag. And from then on, mate, just as we went through the games, everything performed, better than it had done, albeit we only tried Remix and Sega Rally the first time, but everything we tried felt really, really responsive. Like it could have been we were sitting in the same room for some of them, like World Wide Soccer 98 and Virtual On. Like we could have been sitting side beside in the couch playing that, it was that good.
It's incredibly impressive when you think about what it's doing, you know. And obviously, I don't know the ins and outs and how the tunnel works. You know, obviously, it's sending a dial tone from one end to the other. But from obviously, once it gets out of the USB, at the very least, it's talking to the Sega Saturn, which is connected at 14.4 kilobytes per second. Which is, you know, you think about what kilobit, rather than kilobytes, a kilobit. You think about what your broadband connection speeds are now, and then think of that, and wow, it's astonishing the fact that these games work at all. Now, the thing is, you know, I between the two of us, I know that we were, you know, at opposite ends of the country, but it still worked phenomenally well.
Aye, as I say, like Sega Rally when we played that, frame rate looked exactly the same. Like it looked as if you were watching it being played offline. The only thing we had was that little bit of input delay. But if you know the tracks and if you're watching this, the chances are you know them at the back of your hand anyway. So you can kind of adjust for it. And Joe said that you'll never get Sega Rally feeling the same online as it does offline. And you take like a lap to adjust to it, but once you do, it's still a great laugh. It's still insanely playable, just but say every game that we played, like just kind of impresses. Like I think we couldn't believe it. Like we loaded each game up, and we were kind of like, right, let's see how this goes. Maybe a wee bit skeptical. We'll see. Like playing football, a bit of worldwide soccer. Oh, is this? You've got tackles, crosses, shooting, lobs, goalies coming out.
22 players on the pitch.
You know what I mean?
I thought that was going to be a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
and
switching
it was,
between players as well. You know, you need to manually switch, but it was absolutely fine.
It was, if the two that impressed me most were Sega Worldwide Soccer, because that was just so, I honestly felt that I was playing that offline. You know, it was so responsive. The only thing, I wasn't sure if you could change your viewing angle in there, because I think we both play it side on normally. And this was playing like the International Victory Gold default view. But that aside, you know, it played just like I remembered. And it didn't take me too long to get back into the swing of things. And it was brilliant fun. But the other one that really impressed was Virtua One. And I think that one impressed even more, because I think your reactions in the video, you know, obviously we've got the highlights. Say they're the highlights, they're not all the highlights. You know, when the rest of the videos pop up, you know, we'll be doing them a week at a time, but when they come up, there's a bunch more banter and clips in there that you'll enjoy. But when we had that, you know, montage video, you know, we get to the character select screen, you're like, oh shit, this seems like a, you're like, this is responsive. And then it starts, oh shit.
It was like, because even like on Virtua Fighter Remix on the select screen, like you would press left or right to move along the characters, and there was a tiny little bit of delay. But with Virtual On, I'm like, it was like bang, bang, bang. It's like, oh my god, this is moving as and when. This feels like, also you've got a Rad 2X, you know yourself that the low latency, you know how it should feel. And I'm like, this is, and then obviously you pick your robot, and then you choose your control method, and then you get the usual little kind of load screen with a ring, off you go, and then it starts, and you get that kind of round one, get ready, and then we started moving, and it was like, what? It's like, I pressed to jump, and it jumped, and it jumped when, and you're firing off weapons, and for a game like Virtual On, you need that response. Just because, obviously, the nature of the game, you know, you've got your two different weapons, you're dashing, you're jumping, you're turning the camera. If you don't have the twin sticks, you're using the shoulder buttons to change your camera. There's so much going on. And we had, what, five fights
five
on
games
that?
We had, yeah.
And, oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah, it's incredible. I am going to have to get the twin sticks down next time we play it. Because I'll probably be really bad with them, because I haven't played it with them since for ages. But it's tremendous fun, and just what an achievement to get the game running like that. And you know, if we're talking about them in best to kind of worst, I think obviously Virtua One will be top, and as I said, Sega Worldwide Soccer not far behind. I think behind that probably Virtua Fighter Remix. You know, when that was working well, that was working really well. I still couldn't hit Pi's punch, 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 sweep, kick combo when we were playing.
I couldn't hit Pi at all. Get blocking everything, man.
Hey, you got me. You got me. We got that bit of footage, obviously, in the compilation where you go, hey, you're not getting the net. You're not getting it perfect.
big boot in the coot.
But beyond after that, I think Sega Rally and Daytona CCE are difficult ones, because they both tackle, you know, the online play in different ways, don't they? So, as you say, Sega Rally is probably the most perceptible lag. You know, you press, you know, I was noticing that you press the accelerate button, and it takes a split second to go.
The needle doesn't quite move.
Yeah.
And you know that, and if you play Sega Rally, you start off, you start there with a trying to catch it between the 7 and 8, and then down you go. But you know, I know what you mean.
And this is just the way I play Sega Rally, is, and just racing games in general. The reason why I'm just terrible at them is because I don't take racing lines. I just try and take each turn pretty much. I don't race the lines. It does an awful lot of turning and wiggling and kind of course correction, and that's where I was kind of falling down, because when you're not getting that immediate feedback, you're very susceptible to oversteer and understeer. And you know, when I was hitting the lines and turning the corner, I was fine. Like the mountain stage, I was following you for ages, neck and neck, and all of a sudden a bit of oversteer and just collided with the wall and see you zoom off around the corner. But but like you say, if you're playing it properly, you know, and you're taking those lines properly, and you know the courses, you can adapt.
Aye, oh, totally. And as I say, it's like for me playing my favorite game online, like almost 30 years later, is still surreal, you know. And as I say, like even if you're saying like, but taking lines, you don't usually take racing lines, but you still have a gist of. I mean that mountain stage, as you said, mate. Like I watched that footage back, and you were right behind me going through that. But that bit in mountain, like. You actually don't really need to turn a lot. Like if you watch people playing it that don't play it often, they try and take, but it's actually almost a straight line right through.
Yeah,
Like you just
it's
need
very
to, you just,
subtle
aye, it's twitching it
turn.
left and right. Yeah. But I think for that, just playing that online so this time, 2024, playing Sega Rally online is just madness. But like Daytona, I felt its input lag was a little bit better than Sega Rally, but I don't know whether it was by design or by connection. But the game, it felt like the foot wasn't quite to the floor. Like your fingers on the button, and the speedometer says you're going full speed, but it just you were kind of sitting there going, "Mate, just go a bit faster, go a bit faster." It's like,
Yeah, I
but.
felt like it was a conscious choice that someone had made in order, right, to get rid of the latency, we're going to run this game at 66 or two-thirds speed, is what it
Aye.
felt like. It certainly wasn't full throttle. It was really sedate, it's rolling start, and then like you're just kind of cruising around that tour. And this is your top speed, and you're just sort of, cruising around the corner, which, when we're going through the oval. Which was an incredibly tight race. I think the thing that probably threw us off was just it's CCE, so it's the handling. Even though
Aye.
it is the circuit edition, I think it takes the it take the plan was more likely the Japanese version, but the handling's still not quite Daytona,
No.
which threw us off. But yeah, it was the it's one of those ones. I think we were both pressing the accelerator again to test it, and the rolling start was like the accelerator was flashing pretty quickly, and it was
Yep.
like, oh, this is really responsive. And the reason why it felt responsive was because the game runs pretty slowly, and I do feel like that was a deliberate design decision. At least that was my interpretation.
Yeah, Daytona USA Sunday Drivers Edition. It's like, if you say just cruising along, we're not racing today. It's a casual drive, but
Yeah.
I can't see it being. I mean, unless other people have played it and they had it running full pelt, but it just felt as if it was artificially slowed down to try and compensate for whatever. But controls wise, it had less input lag or delay than Sega Rally, but Sega Rally managed to maintain the sense of speed that it's got offline.
Yeah, Sega Rally, aside from the impact lag, Sega Rally is exactly as you'd
As
experience it
you'd
at home.
expect.
This is, yeah, it looks, moves, and plays with a degree of input lag exactly like at home. Whereas Daytona was slowed down. But yeah, out of the five of them, Virtual One was, my favorite, and I'm obsessed with that game now. I just can't wait to get back online again. And it's been, at the time of recording, I haven't had a chance to get back online. I actually had to put my Saturn. Put my Japanese Saturn with ephemera in a way, and that meant taking the modem out because it hasn't got the clearance to get back onto the shelf. But I booted it up with the action replay in, and the car sort of seems fine on that one. So I don't think there'll be any issues getting the modem back in and out on that one. So, but yeah, and the great thing was, the community has been amazing. Been in, there's the Sega Saturn Shiro Challenges. There's the board on that, and then you've got the Netlink sub board on there, and it was great to have an invitation from Man of Stone to did you get an invitation for that as well to go on to the
I've not had anything yet, but I don't know. If he may have seen it's an old account because I had an old Discord account, but the one that I use has got like my face on it. So he did message me on X and say that he'd sent it. But if you've got it, mate, fire me on
yeah.
the link and I'll join up. Because like yourself, I've had the modem in and out, several times swapping over for the 4 meg RAM cartridge, and
Yeah.
every time I've put the modem back in to test it out. I've went on to like Bomberman, and it goes onto that Netlink screen, you know, straight away. So there's no issue with that at all. Which kind of goes back to what Dave said, is that it might not always be the slot. It might be the age of these
yeah.
RAM and ROM carts, because like these cartridges were new old stock. So like they've just been sitting there, they are brand new, they were sealed, they'd never been used. And Knight of Dragons said that everyone he tested in his Saturn worked first time every time. You know what I mean? So I've actually noticed as well, slight tangent, my 4 megabyte RAM cart. I've said before, right, and I done the eraser trick, right, to maybe give the pins a clean, and it did work fully seated. And obviously, I've had the modem in to play with yourself, and I put it back in, and like it didn't give me the Japanese please insert 4 megabyte RAM cart screen, but X-Men versus Street Fighter just got to the big now loading, right?
Yeah,
and froze. But I've actually noticed when I took my cartridge out, I had to lift it back up a couple of mil again. So whenever I looked at it, there's actual movement in my cartridge. So see the board, the PCB?
Yeah.
See, whenever I take it out, I can actually push it up like a couple of mil. So that's why I think I'm having to raise it up, because when I'm pushing it in, it's hitting the cart slot and it's pushing up. So whenever I'm lifting it up a couple of mil, it's actually letting the pins touch the... I think the pins might not be making full contact because the board's going up slightly inside the cartridge shell.
So. Yeah, I can imagine that. And the thing is, I have to say, the fussiest cartridge that I have got is the 4 megabyte RAM cart. And I think when the Shiro show just gone, which we were talking about the Netlink gone, you know, I think Dave was talking about, you know, the 4 meg RAM card does seem to be the fussiest out of all of them. Mm-hmm. I've got mine. My cards have actually been wedged in with a bit of so they're pushed forward, and they go all the way down. They work absolutely fine, and that method works for me. Whether it's sustainable in the long term, whether that will do damage, I don't know. But it's working right now, and I've not had an issue with my RAM cards. But yeah, as you say, mate, these modems are new old stock, aren't they? And you know, they, as Knight said, they work first time, which just shows, you know, that cart can be relied on now and again, and even down to you know, when Dave's talking about the Saru, you know, that works. Those seem to work very well first time. And just on the Saru, you know, I think I'd love for that to be the ultimate solution, as Dave says. You know, the blue sky end game for that would be to have some sort of modem functionality built in there via the you know, it has got a section where you can add a USB cable or something to make that the complete solution. But until mm-hmm. then, there seems to be a few of these Netlinks about for people if they are interested in getting involved.
Aye. I mean, the Saru, I mean, the end game, as you said, mate, once they get game compatibility, and if they can get a way to feed the Netlink through it, it could well be, because it's got like individual save game status, 1 megabyte, 4 megabyte functionality. Like, the thing that's annoying about the Saru is that these AliExpress sellers who are literally butchering Saturns to make these god-awful translucent case Saru consoles.
Yeah, they're awful.
And the picture someone put up, and it was like just a pile of disk drives. It's like, no, man, what are you doing gutting these Saturns to make these like monstrosities? You know what I mean? Especially whenever the compatibility isn't there yet.
Yeah.
But for the price of them, you know, whenever you look at, obviously, a Fenrir is affordable, you know, it's like $100, 100 euros, whatever. That's a great option, but you lose the disk drive. And if you don't mind that, that's fine. Satiator, if you're in the UK, you're looking at $350 after import tax. If you can get something which is essentially an EverDrive for the Saturn, you don't need to open it. You don't need to remove any components. You just slap this cartridge in and you leave it sitting there, and it does everything. I mean, if you'd said 4 years ago that this, and I know Saru's been kind of in development for a long time, but if you'd said like 4 years ago you would be looking at now on the market an EverDrive style cartridge for the Saturn, you'd have been laughed at, mate. It'd have been like, nah, never, that's never going to go mainstream. How can that work? And the loading times are insane as well. It's like, you know, because the bandwidth of the cartridge slot is a lot better than the ribbon cable for the CD drive or the VCD slot. So, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that matures, especially to see if there's kind of going to be a new build with more modern chips in it, and whether you know that. Obviously, I think they're focused on game compatibility at the moment. They want to get the commercial games nailed down. You know, it's not the end solution. And yeah, those talks about the sorrow a lot, and you know, people should check out his discussions on that. But you know, they're working on commercial game compatibility. Modded games are kind of hit and miss, more misses than hits from the sounds of things. But yeah, if there's a lot of attention on it right now, and it'd be good to see if that becomes the all singing, all dancing solution, because it does a lot and it does a lot very well. But yeah, if that could be the modem to make modem accessibility a lot more widespread, as well as retaining, you know, the 4 megabyte, 1 megabyte RAM cards per game save, all that sort of stuff. God, how good would that be?
Exactly. And I mean, the online thing is also going to evolve and keep evolving. Like, I think they're looking into, is it Knights looking into using the serial port on the back of the Saturn? You know, so it might even be a case of you don't even need to go through the Netlink at all.
Yeah,
you know,
and that would be insane.
So this is just going to keep evolving. It's like, that's a good thing with us, with the Saturn community, is that they don't kind of rest on the laurels. They solve one problem and then they go, right, we've got something that works in place. How can we make it better?
Yeah.
How can we improve on it? They don't stop, which is phenomenal. So eventually that would be brilliant, you know, if you didn't even need a Netlink or an X-band modem, say a Saturn modem, if you can just connect through your serial port and do it that way. Don't know how far away that'll be from testing or whatever. I've not heard anything, but again, it's out there, it's being worked on, you know, just one of the many things that the Saturn community is doing.
Yeah, and like we said earlier on, you know, the work that's been involved to get this up and running, from a hardware providing, testing, line voltage adapter, to the, you know, PC software, the tunneler, and the solutions in order for us to do this. And then we've got the games themselves. So, you know, what I've been going on my phone and trying to get the link that you send for DreamPipe to try and get this list of games up, and it's been too long to get them, but I've got them on my screen now. And there's a decent chunk of titles on there if we go through these, mate. But you know, as you said, there's a difference between X-band and Netlink, and you can play both with your Sega Saturn modem or with your Netlink, but you can't play. So there's Daytona USA Circuit Edition for Sega Networks, which is the Japanese X-band game, and there's Daytona CCE Netlink Edition, which is the US version. And if you've got a Sega Saturn modem or a Netlink or a US Netlink, then you can play either of them, but you can't play one against the other. They're two different pieces of software, very different ways of dialing each other. The approach between Japanese X-band and US Netlink is different, but you know, that's what we got. We've got five. There's 15 titles here. You know, a few are duplicated. But, you know, on the X band side, you know, go through the ones that we've played already. So Daytona USA CCE, or CE for the Japanese X band version. There's Sega Rally Championship Plus, Sega Worldwide Soccer 98, Virtua Fighter Remix, and Virtuon Cyber Troopers. But ones that we're looking to get into in the coming weeks. You know, we were hoping to play it tonight. Hopefully we'll play it this week, but the Cathlete, that's one I'm looking forward to, and I'm hoping that plays really well, given that there's no interactivity between players. You kind of, the only exception I think to that is going to be the 1500 meter
the 100 meter dash,
but the rest, you just kind of, there's no interactivity, so in theory you could just run locally and then it just takes your time, but we'll see how that runs. But that's, you know, Decathlete, a phenomenal game.
You'll have the 100 meter dash, you'll have the hurdles, and you'll have the last one, the kind of the full lap. Is that the 1500 meter one, isn't it? The last one. Yeah. So those ones you're on screen at the same time. But the rest, you know, like javelin, I love the javelin, it's my favorite one in that game. But
oh, yeah.
The javelin, shot put, high jump, long jump, it's only one player on the screen. So whether you'll be interested to see how it works, and we'll find out soon enough whether you get to watch one another's shot kind of thing. You know, yeah. I would imagine it will show you each player, but you also you'll only control yours whenever they come on screen. So, it's going to be a lot of fun playing. I'll call it Athlete Kings. It is obviously decathlon, because yeah. like that was a game I played a lot with Sam back in the day. Like that was a go-to. He had it. He brought it up. Many a button was mashed. You know, playing that game, always set my controls to ABC to run and XYZ as action, just so I could.
Everyone's got their own approach, their own technique to get those.
The claw over the two sets of buttons.
My approach was hold it and kind of bounce it between the two fingers. You know, and we loved Athlete Kings, but me and my mates as well, and that was one that we played to death, you know, and as well as Guardian Heroes, which I mentioned before. Athlete Kings was another one, and that led to Winter Heat, which is obviously four player. Love to get that. I wish there was a Netlink version of that, but yeah, Decathlete, Pio Pio Sun, you know, who doesn't love Pio Pio? Puzzle Bobble, I think it's Puzzle Bobble 3. That's the online version, isn't it? Because I see it as Puzzle Bobble on here, but I'm sure it's mentioned in the Sega Saturn Shiro Community Challenge as Puzzle Bobble 3. Saturn Bomberman, Sega, and then we've got Shadows of the Tusk, which would be another really interesting one to play online. Especially, and I'm not sure, is that the translated one that's playable online? Or is this just Netlink?
I think Knight of Dragon has done a build where it's a translated version, because if I remember when I was talking to Dave about my connection issues, that Knight came back and said, get him to try my build of Shadow of the Tusk, because it's ideal for testing local connectivity. So I think the version that has been patched, I don't know if he's patched in to the Netlink version, the English version of it. The way he was speaking, I think he has. I'll double check with him anyway and see if it is the case, because I would imagine it probably would have to be, because it'd be a bit unplayable, you know, if it was in Japanese anyway. So I'm pretty sure, just given the language that he used, saying it, get him to try my version.
Yeah.
So it probably is. You know, nothing would surprise me with Knight, you know, and these guys, the work that they do. So yeah, that'd be an interesting one to play as well, mate. It's I watched whenever the English patch got unveiled in Pat Diddy's stream on the end of one of the Shiro shows a few weeks ago, and like the reaction to that was just like immense. People just couldn't believe it was. Oh, here's another one. Another one's translated.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. So I'm really looking forward to playing that one as well. So that's 10 Japanese X-Band games all playable now. And then you've got the Netlink ones as well. And just a note on the Netlink ones. I think we hear conflicting things, don't we? I think we were told that the Sega Rally, for example, runs a lot better in the Netlink version compared to the X-Band one. But I think we found that the probably reverse was true for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we played both. We played the Japanese one first, then we went to the Netlink one, and then we went back to the Japanese one, didn't we, when we had that evening where everything kind of ran. Which version did you play with against Dave?
It was the Japanese one I played with Dave as well, which is why Joe came back and said, try the American one. If I remember, the American one that we tried, that was the one that froze like seconds into the race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why we went back to the Japanese one, because we thought, right, well, you know, well, we know that works because I've tried that already. You know, with Dave, we know that connects. And that's what we ended up playing the three races on.
Yeah. So, again, people's mileage may vary. And no pun intended there when we're talking about Sega Rally. You know, the good thing is that you can try both of these and see which one works. So obviously Daytona USA CCE is on there, which we've played the Japanese version of that. Sega Rally Championship, again, played the Japanese version of that, and Virtuon as well. Saturn Bomberman, which we haven't played on the X-Band yet, but that is also available on Netlink. But a Netlink exclusive, as we talked earlier, was Duke Nukem 3D. And mate, I honestly still can't believe that this is co-op. You know, it did online co-op before Halo did.
And we haven't even mentioned something else that we touched on, you know, is the interface, you know, is very, I think, well, I was gonna say it's very Xbox Live. Xbox Live is very X-Band,
Yeah.
you know, from the vibe, the kind of the tones of green, you know, just everything about it is very, I can see maybe where they took some influence from for
Yeah.
Xbox Live on that, but the whole interface as well, mate, when you look at it, it's for when it is, you know, you're talking what, usually 95, 96, it's pretty advanced for that time. You know, there was nothing I could ever, I mean, anything I've imagined. I mean, I got my first PC, as I said, like kind of like college times, so that would have been like 97.
Yeah.
And getting online on that was a pain in the ass, like using Netscape and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and you look at the UI that was on, like Netlink, to let people play games together. It's pretty good. I was really impressed by it. I thought it was going to be really basic. And I was really surprised just by how fluid and just quite intuitive that everything
Yeah.
was. You know, you set your users up. So you set you've on the X-Band side, you've got four like user slots. You have to assign one of those to like SP0, which is you'll go into that if you're going to listen for a call or wait for a call. And then the other three slots you can use to put people's IP addresses and who you want to dial out to. So, for example, I've two of my three slots, I've got you in one and Dave in the other. And that begins with MP hash, then your public IPv4 address ends with a hash, and then you'll go into that, confirm you want to register with X-Band, which means you want to dial, and then you just sit and wait. And, you know, reanimated X-Band X's floating about the screen, and you know, the whole thing I thought was really, really user-friendly, really intuitive. You know, once you were in and all set up, I didn't feel like it was like prohibitive in any way. It felt a lot more modern than when it came out.
Yeah, it was amazing, really. And yeah, the Xbox, obviously, X-Band isn't a Sega technology, or at least that's my
Yeah.
understanding of it. X-Band was another company that ran these networks. As I say, you know, the X-Band existed. I think there was a version on the Super Nintendo, but it existed on other consoles. But Sega used that technology to power the Sega Saturn modem and the X-Band service in Japan. But you load it up, and the first thing you see is like an explosion sound, and a big X comes, and it is very, very reminiscent of the original Xbox booting up, you know, which also started with a load of explosions and then you got a big green X on the screen. Now, obviously, the X-Band is like a spray painted, yeah, that's the one. It's like a spray painted X, but you know, and I can't help but think, mate, do you remember when they first revealed Xbox Live? And they showed the, you know, they should, and you can create a gamer tag, and you can put a profile picture in there, and you can call your friends to play games. And you look at this, and you create a player name. Now, obviously, nowadays you have to put it in as SP0 or and MP hash, blah blah blah. But you can, you know, you're thinking that you could put in a username in there and choose a profile picture to put in there, and call the people that you're playing against. And you think, Jesus, they're boasting about that in what, 2003? You know, this was 1996 that
Aye.
they did this. And it's absolutely amazing. I think anyone, you know, if I think we had a very brief pick of that in our compilation video, and the full 2 hour, there'll be people who've watched the full 2 hour will probably be very well acquainted with the fact that you know, you see all these screens and everything, but it really does look like an Xbox Live, like a proto Xbox Live screen. It's phenomenal. And I think I said when we were topping our impressions up on for you know for the Shiro article, it's all so easy once you're logged in. I think the only thing is, you know, dialing in, putting in these numeric characters into the digital keyboard can be a little bit laborious, but and I'm sure that Sega Saturn keyboards are going to be in high demand going forward. But
well, Dave did say that he got sent one, remember, a Japanese one, but it's got the English keys, obviously, the QWERTY kind of layout on them, as well as the Japanese characters.
Yeah, so you know, that aside, it's they're wonderful to use, and it happened so quickly. You know, once we got through our firewall issues, you know, our broadband provider was I think they're well known for being a little bit draconian with their with the way that they manage security, I suppose. Xbox, what's the Xbox insignia? Insignia has their own little box out on the website. If anyone's familiar with the Xbox Insignia, like online service, it says, if you're with this specific broadband provider, you need to do this because they're extremely picky. But once we got over that with our firewalls, mate, it was an absolute doddle to get connected, wasn't it? And I think we were still getting excited though, even when we were on like 3 hours, 2 or 3 hours in, and you know, we're like dialing, waiting, receiving, yes, we're connected.
I'm like, you're looking at a tunnel and it's like, I'm waiting. And then you would go, I'm dialing. And then you would wait for it to reflect on the screen. It was like making call, answering call. And then it goes connecting. And then it brings up that box. An opponent has been found.
Yeah, that's you. It's enough.
I mean, whenever I looked up there where you were talking, so yeah, X-Band was one of the first competitive online gaming console networks available for the Genesis, Mega Drive, and Super NES. It was produced by Catapult Entertainment in Cupertino, California, same place as Apple. It is the only modem released in America to have been officially licensed by Nintendo. It debuted in various areas of the United States between November 94 and June 95 and was released nationwide between October 2nd and 8th, 1995. It had approximately 15,000 members at the time of discontinuation on April 30th, 1997. So just 27 years ago, the other day, basically. So platforms that were supported were Sega Genesis, Mega Drive, Super NES, Sega Saturn, and IBM PC. So there you go.
Yeah,
and there's an archive of the website as well, which you might not be able to see, but there's there's the archive of the website. I need to charge my battery, but it really is. It's great, you know, for the age of it. It doesn't look its age, you know. You think of like 1995, 96 technology, try to connect online, like. Sometimes I even look at Dream Arena on the Dreamcast and I think X-Band, that whole interface looks better than what was with the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I think it's better than Dream Arena.
Yeah. No, I think they're probably the pros and cons to both. I do think the Dream Arena one is maybe a little bit cleaner. Obviously, there's a lower resolution image in the Saturn one, but they both have their charms. But the Sega Saturn one is incredibly impressive for what it is. It holds up incredibly well, and it's extremely responsive. You know, you're not clicking on a screen and waiting until you make that call. It's all done locally anyway until you make the call. But it's not like you're clicking in somewhere and waiting and waiting and waiting for a screen to lag. There's no perceptible lag when you're in that screen until you actually make the call. There's no lag at all, and it's incredibly impressive. So yeah, overall impressions of it, mate. I think they're just overwhelmingly positive, and I think it's you know, I didn't think that this would be as good as it was.
No, neither did I.
I thought it would be you know, a novelty and a fun way to you know, get involved in the community. And you know, when you know, I last heard about the Sega Saturn Shiro Virtual On tournament and the guys playing that, and when I caught a couple of the games on there, I thought, yeah, it's playing well, but you know, there must be some lag in there, and I can't imagine it's the ideal way to play. What a great way to play. But to be honest, the performance has just blown me away. So it's as great and as fun as it would be to play with the community for something that would have been, you know, fantastic, but ultimately a little bit flawed. It's actually so much better than I initially, you know, expected, and that just makes the whole thing even more appealing, and I just can't wait to get back into it.
I know, because I've not been back online either, you know, since we were on, so, you know, I'm choking to get back on as well, but Aye, it's just there's no perceivable performance degradation. I was the same as yourself. I was like, you know, take it at face value for what it is, 30-year-old console, you know, a 27-year-old online service. It's discontinued. It's been brute forced basically through a line voltage modem and a bespoke tunnel program. Let's just get involved in and take it at face value for what it is. And my God, it's surpassed like all expectations. If like, Duke Nukem and Athlete Kings and Puyo Puyo and Saturn Bomberman run as well as the rest of them, and from what we've experienced, I've no reason to believe that they won't, then we're in for, you know, a hell of a good time, mate. And obviously some fun videos for the viewers as well.
Yeah, so there'll be plenty of videos. I think we've got our gameplay of all the original initial five games that we played all lined up, and once the Puzzle Bobble free competition concludes on the Shiro side, we'll both be involved in whatever the next challenge will be. But if you know, people should be keeping an eye on that anyway for anyone that's playing that and televising it, and I'm sure Shiro will be updating us as that competition progresses, because I looked at the bracket, mate, and that looks very exciting. I love the way it's set out, because they've got the
tailing down kind of thing,
yeah, and then they got the losers bracket as well, which comes back in for a chance to win it, which is fantastic. So the way that they run their competitions on there in Sega Saturn Shiro is just immense, and I can't wait to get involved with the next ones going forward. So, mate, overall, it's just, you know, it's just a fantastic experience. The games play fantastic, and it's a great selection of games as well. Not the biggest selection of games, but a great selection on there. Can't really complain about any of those. You know, I think it's 11 distinct different games that you can play. Some of them got multiple versions. Pick what's best for you. And, you know, this is going to be a completely new, you know, amount of content that we're going to be giving everyone, you know, unlike anything that we've done before. So, yeah, it's been very exciting, and we'll be getting involved in those Shiro challenges going forward. And if anyone has got the opportunity to get one of these, I think the Shiro stock's gone now, isn't it? But I know they're always looking out for more. But, you know, get yourselves involved with Sega Saturn Shiro. And, you know, if you're interested in this and this sounds like something that you'd love to enjoy, definitely seek one out one way or another. Because, yeah, I don't think you'll regret it. Don't expect it to run like you're playing on your Xbox Series X or PS5.
No.
But if you frame it as this is a 30-year-old console using 90s dial-up internet technology that has been kind of retrofitted to work on current broadband networks, and if you think about what it is that we're doing there, what it is that the team have been doing to get this working, set your expectations there, and promise you that you'll probably be blown away what the results are.
Aye, that's it, mate. Just go in. Much like if you're coming to the Saturn for the first time, go in with your eyes open, you know, don't set any heady expectations, and then just let the system do its thing. Because as I say, we kind of tempered our expectations a bit, and I think that helped as well, along with the performance that we were just sitting there like jaws on the floor at some of them. It was like, I just can't believe how well this is playing. I think if we had gone in like, oh, this is going to be all singing, all dancing, lag free, issue free, then maybe the Sega Rally input lag would have been a disappointment. But we were expecting, you know, hiccups, glitches, errors, performance problems maybe, but we didn't get anywhere near as many as we thought we would get. So just if you've got a chance, even if you've got like a Netlink or a Sega Saturn modem, maybe even reach out to Dave or Pat and see if they can, maybe if they've got any line voltage modems, you know, left at all, or if they can point in the right direction of what one to get that would work with it. Because obviously Joe's Tunnel is publicly available. It's not like you have to have bought the kit from Shiro to have access to the tunnel. Like the tunnel, the link to download the software is on the Sega Saturn Shiro Getting Your Sega Saturn Online Guide. You know, it's there to be downloaded. So if you've got the modem, you can download the tunnel. All you need is a line voltage modem, you know, and that's you sorted. So, yeah.
And a way to play modded games as well. Because you do need the modded game. So if you've got a Fenrir or
Aye,
a
need an
Satiator
ODE
or
on
like.
there. Yeah. Because you also the modems work multi-regionally. You can use, like, we're using a, well, I'm using a Japanese modem on the PAL console running at 60 hertz, but the games have been patched both ways. So basically they just work, but you've got to have an ODE obviously to run the patch ROMs.
Yeah. But yeah, mate, I mean, how often do we say it? How many times have we said it over the last, 4 years? The Saturn has no right to be doing this, and yet here we are again.
Just even getting back to the end of 95, mate, with the big three, it is no right to be doing Virtua Fighter 2 like this. It is no right to be doing Sega Rally like this. The thing has no right to be online, lag free, relatively, and totally in most cases, like Virtual On and Worldwide Soccer in 2024. How? Like, my nephews are sitting there playing their PlayStation 5s, playing their mates at FIFA, and their Uncle James is sitting playing Sega Rally for 1995 on a 30-year-old console. I know what I would rather be.
Yeah, well, it does it all, doesn't it, mate? If they said, "Oh, well, the one thing you're missing out on in modern gaming is the online community," well, we've got that now. We got it in spades.
That is the banner on my Twitter profile says that Dave made headed for Saturn, never came back.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, so going forward then, everyone that's viewing, expects a deluge of Netlink content. As I say, we've had the compilation go out, we've had the 2 hour uncut connection failures and all, with a load of banter in between, load of outtakes, will go to our premium members. Yeah, look forward to the full gameplay sessions for each of the individual games to go out. Virtua Fighter would have already gone out by the time this video is aired.
Yeah, goes out
And
on Friday, and this is a Wednesday we're recording it, so it'll be out by the time this comes out. Yeah.
then the next one, which would be probably Sega Rally, was the
Yep.
next game we played. And yeah, look forward to more. And obviously, as we play these, go rattle through every single game and probably double back round to play them some more. Expect
Got to
a
be
bunch more.
rematches, mate. Got to be
Yeah.
rematches, and I apologize to anybody who's got sensitive ears when it comes to swearing. Because, like, whenever I play, like, multiplayer games or one-on-one games, I have a tendency to swear. Like, my mate messaged me after watching the Virtua Fighter remix video, pissing himself that I called you a wee dick because you beat me. So it just comes naturally. Sorry, it's like this is a there's a belter on Forest Stage on Sega Rally, like literally seconds into it as well, like. Didn't even clock it until I went back and watched it. So I do apologize. I swear a bit when I play multiplayer games. Sorry.
It's passion, and that's what it's all about. So
Yeah,
yeah, there'll be a deluge of this new stream of content that's coming through. It's going to be Netlink focused, which is going to be in addition to all of our usual stuff. And yeah, if you have got a Netlink, if you've got a Sega Saturn modem or a Netlink, please get involved. Reach out to us. There's various other groups on Discord and via Shiro in order to get involved and match up. So once we're take a look and get involved and give us a shout. We'd love for as many people to get involved with this as possible. So
absolutely.
thanks everyone for watching, and we'd love for you to get in touch via the comments below or via social media. As we say, once again, thank you so much for watching, and thank you once again to all of our members who have helped make this happen and have made that not just the Netlinks, but today's show possible. James, who have we got to thank for our show today?
So I think in aid of the fact that without all of the members, these Netlinks wouldn't have been possible. I think we'll shout out every single one of them.
Yep.
I think that's fair. So, starting from the bottom, we have Stubbs Gaming, Andy Mackey, Alistair Downs, Sega Saturn Lad, Gigi, Martin Whitehouse, G-Man, Stiff Peaks, I Am Mikowski, Temjin 44, Sharkus Retrobytes, Craig Williamson, Sega Saturn Shiro, Dean Howarth, Brendotron, Mr. DJP, Joey Pajamas, UK Dazarus, Resident SD, P-Wall, Tom Fum, Peter 007, Evenflow Games, and Saint RG. All 24 members, thank you very much for your support. Thank you to all our subscribers as well. And if a monthly membership isn't your thing, no problem at all. We appreciate your support in liking, sharing, watching, subscribing, just getting the word out there about the pod and the channel. So thank you very much, everyone, for helping us do what we do.
And just to say again, we'd love to hear from you. Get involved in the Sega Guys Discord, whether you're listening on Radio Sega, or get involved in the Radio Sega Discord or the Sega Saturn Shiro Discord, or reach out to us on X under Sega Guys. I'm Super D. James is on there as the Sega Holic. We are the Sega Guys. Thank you so much for watching, and we will see you on the Sega side.
Here you go.